And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we focus upon the gospel account that we just heard read and shared with the kids in the children's message. You may be seated. Well, this morning, as Larry had the card for the kids, imagine if you went out to your mailbox one day, and I think we have it for the screen, and you were going through the cards, envelopes that were in your mailbox, and you found this one. From God, and where is God but heaven and everywhere, and it's personally addressed to you, but not only to you, to everyone. And then you're excited, and you open the envelope, and inside, you find this lovely card. It looks like there must be some kind of meal connected to this. And it says, you're invited. Well, we don't have to imagine that because in the gospel account this morning, the Lord gives us the invitation, as we heard in the children's message. God comes to you and me personally and individually. He comes to the world of people of all time, and He comes with this wonderful message. You're invited to the exclusion of no one. The invitation is intended for everyone. And so the Lord this morning in the gospel account uses this parable about a king and his son is getting married. And so the king is excited, the son is excited, and there's going to be this huge wedding feast. And the king sends out special invitations. Now, initially, it's a selected list that is sent out. And so the list goes out to individuals, but they wouldn't come. And why wouldn't they come? Because they were preoccupied with their farms, with their businesses. In fact, we hear that not only did many of them not pay any attention, but some of them even went so low that they seized the messengers. Can you imagine? The one that's simply delivering the good news, you're invited, and they actually kill the messengers. You know, in other parables similar to this, Jesus even talks about the Son finally being sent, and they even kill the Son. Well, in this account, that's not the case, but the messengers are killed, and the king, of course, becomes very angry, and rightfully so. It's a righteous anger towards those that he had invited and how cruelly they treated him in response to the invitation. And so he goes out after the ones who destroyed his messengers, and he destroys them. And not only that, but he destroys their city. Quite an account that the Lord speaks of. And then, but what's interesting is it doesn't stop the wedding feast. It doesn't remove the joy from the king and his son in wanting to have this feast and invite people to come. So the king decides, okay, since the special invited people didn't want to come, then I'm just going to send out the invitation to everyone. Just go out everywhere. And whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. Anywhere in between, I want you all to come to the wedding feast. And many accepted the invitation. And many came and celebrated with the Son and the Father at the wedding feast. And yet there's another interesting little kink in this story that Jesus shares, and that is that traditionally in the culture of that day, if you went to a wedding feast, you would come in your regular clothing, but then you would be greeted at the door and you would be given a gown. And so you kind of like my alb here this morning, you would cover your clothing that you were wearing with this gown, and everybody at the wedding feast would look the same. And maybe part of the custom of that culture, the purpose of it, perhaps was so that nobody would stand out as far as the guests, and all the focus would be on the bridegroom and his lovely bride. But there's a problem here because somebody comes that's invited to the feast, but they refuse to wear the wedding garment. And again, the king becomes very angry with this, and he approaches this one who has no wedding garment, and he says, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And then the king said, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness." Wow. Harsh response from the king to the one without the garment. Well, what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Certainly, the church of that day, the Jews, would understand that in the Old Testament, many times God uses this theme, where Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And so that isn't nothing new. In fact, God talks about the rebellion of the church against God, running off to other gods and idols, as being adultery. The Lord uses the marriage theme many times with his precious church. And so it's very evident that the list that went out initially was to the Jews. God's chosen people, those he put aside and selected to prepare for the coming of his son, for the celebration of this great feast. But they would not come. And we know they seized his servants. They killed the prophets. They killed the apostles. They even killed the son. But God destroys Jerusalem in 70 AD. And so what Jesus tells in this parable happened shortly after he shares these words. And it came to fruition when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, totally annihilated. Many people killed in 70 AD, and it was all because of their rebellion. God makes it very clear that he will not be mocked. Wonder if the world today thinks about that once in a while. He will not be mocked. Well, from the selected list then of the Jews, what does God do? Sends the invitation to everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. And the good news is we're living in this time of grace. There's nothing that has changed today. The message from heaven, the message from God to the world today, right now, stands. You're invited. It's still not too late. The world has not ended. God's judgment has not taken place. There is still time. And being invited, we still live in this incredible time of God's grace. And yet, it's so sad that today, the majority of the Jews still refuse to acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But on the positive side, look, we're here as testimony that the Lord invited us and through that invitation changed our lives forever, and he called us by name into this incredible faith. And so here we are, and the message goes out without distinction to the world. The good and the bad. And you know, what the Lord's talking about that, in essence, by God's standard, we're all bad. We all fall short of the glory of God. But in the sense of even those who do not believe, there's law-abiding citizens. They live productive lives. They're not going out and committing crimes and destroying the lives of others. And then there's some that their lives are just a mess and they're destroying many other lives. And so the Lord's point is, everyone is invited. Doesn't matter how bad you may think you are. Doesn't matter how good you may think you are. But the invitation goes to everyone. And many have come to faith. You and I have been blessed to be brought into this faith. And what's really awesome is we have been given the wedding garment. And I'd like us to look at Galatians 3 and look at this at baptism. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ. And what does it say? You have clothed yourselves with Christ. And there's the wedding garment. It's Jesus' perfectness. It is His righteousness. I could have greasy, grimy clothes on this morning and you wouldn't know it because this gown covers all of that. And the Lord is using that illustration in a spiritual way that He has given us His covering. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But through Christ, received through baptism, through faith, we get this new clothing, this wedding garment. In Romans 10:17, the invitation of God's word and the power of the invitation. We can't accept it on our own power and strength. But through the invitation, God changes hearts. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing and receiving the invitation. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. It's how God chooses to reach out to the world. It's how He chose to reach out to you and me, and He has changed our lives now and forevermore. But then we have to pay attention. Jesus didn't just throw in this one individual that didn't have the wedding garment just kind of as a sideshow. It's a very serious situation. The one that refused to wear the wedding garment. Well, it's good that our Reformation moment this morning was indulgences, because there's an example. And with the indulgences, it was, I don't need you, Jesus. You didn't do everything necessary for me to get into heaven. You know, I have to do something else, and so I'm going to buy my way in. And we call that self-righteousness. That somehow what the Lord has done isn't sufficient for us and we must do additional things, and it brings the glory then to us, doesn't it? Wow, look what I did. You know, I'm in heaven because I did this. But that's sinful man's thinking. That's the thinking of Satan and the sinful nature. And self-righteousness will not get us into the wedding feast. It's only the invitation, and it's only the garment of Christ that makes us righteous before God. You can see why the Reformation was so serious. You can see why Luther was putting his life on the line to confront what was going on in that era. But still today, in surveys taken among Lutherans, over 60% of Lutherans say and believe that they are saved by the works that they do. Tragic. Self-righteousness will get us nowhere, and Jesus is very firm on this. Then the king told the attendants, as we look at verse 13, tie him hand and foot, throw him outside and to the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you know who speaks of hell, that place of judgment, more than anyone else in Scripture? Ironically, it's Jesus. He speaks of it the most. And here is one of those examples. The Lord wants us to know and to understand and to see clearly the seriousness of refusing His righteousness. And it is condemnation forever. In Matthew 7, again, we looked at this in recent past weeks, but here again, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? There's self-righteousness. God, here's my resume. Look what I've done. I don't need the garment. Look, Lord, I can do it myself. I can get into the wedding feast without the garment. But then what does Jesus respond? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Wow. Can you imagine the Lord knowing that you were invited? Your name was on the list. And the Lord looks at you and says, never knew you. And not only that, but what does he say? Away from me, you evildoers. Another casting away, casting into that place of judgment, thrown out of the wedding feast. Wow. Serious. We need the garment. And what's wonderful is the garment's a gift. It's not forced upon us. We're not forced to come to the feast, but when we come to the feast, the Lord gives us the garment. He provides it. And our sin is covered, and we are made right with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it all comes through Jesus' shed blood. Ironically, Jesus dies and rises again for the sins of all people. His garment bloodied, and we get the pure white one. We receive his perfect rightness. And so only God knows where your heart is today and where my heart is, because this is, the dear friends, the most dangerous one for us, because we're here. But there are people sitting in the pew who say, nope, Jesus didn't do enough. I got to do something. I'm contributing something. And the Lord says, I never knew you. And he casts them out. And so it's good that Jesus informs us, because it's easy as Christians to fall into that entrapment. It's the way the rest of the world operates. If you want to get ahead in life, you got to work harder, right? It's all about self-righteousness. It's all about works righteousness. But the kingdom of grace, the wedding feast, turns the world upside down, because it's purely a gift from God to you and me and to the world. And we are blessed. Isn't it awesome that God tells us in Isaiah 43, and think about this, when you were baptized, most of us as infants, we don't remember that day, but we know it to be true, and we know God's promise through baptism. But here's the Almighty God, from everlasting to everlasting, and you think of all the people that have ever lived, are living, and will live, and God says to you and me individually these words, but now says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. There it is. I have redeemed you. Meaning, through my shed blood, I have called you back. I have bought you back. And I have called you by name. The Lord knows each of our individual names. I have called you by name, and could we hear better words than these? You are mine. You are mine, says the Almighty God. Wow. And it's all a gift through the wonderful invitation given. God has personally invited you. And he's personally invited me. And so today is a good time for a personal evaluation for all of us, to really take Jesus' words seriously, and to think, you know, the Lord shared this parable for a reason. And in my life, am I being careless in my faith? Am I telling God, you know, God, I know you've got these things you've called me to do, but hey, I got other things to do, God, not right now, but hey, you know, when I get older, about the time when maybe I'm going to die, I'll start really taking this stuff seriously. And we see so many Christians that fade away and then fall away from the faith because they are caught up in the busyness of the world that only lasts for a moment compared to eternity. And then the wedding garment. That's the most dangerous, I think, and one that we need to really evaluate ourselves daily. Am I falling into this self-righteous mode? In the way that I look at other Christians, am I looking at them in a self-righteous mode? Boy, it's so easy for us to do that. And the Lord, God bless God for bringing us this word to snap us out of that. And remember, wow, I did nothing. The Lord gave me this. And I have life because of it. The invitation still goes out. Can you think of a more honorable thing, task, that God could entrust to you and me than to simply deliver the invitation to another human being? I mean, God could speak the word and it'd be done and it would be all over, completed. He's God. He can do that in an instant. But He chooses to honor you and me, to include us in this incredible work. Who has not had fun writing out invitations or personally delivering them to people? That's an exciting thing to do. And this is the most exciting of all, because this invitation gives life, not only now, but for eternity. And I love Philippians 4 this morning. You may want to read that again today when you go home. But through it, through His Word, through the invitation, through being in the wedding feast, God removes our fears and our anxieties. Yes, in our sinful nature, we still battle with that. But God is constantly saying, you don't need to deal with that. It's all covered. You're safe and secure with me. You're at the feast. I want you to celebrate the feast and know that I am the provider of all things. And we can take that word to the world. We live in absolute security at the wedding feast. God's kingdom of grace now, and His kingdom of glory one day that we will experience. And what a place that will be. In conclusion, it's not too late. Think about people in your family. Maybe they've wanted nothing to do with the wedding feast, nothing to do with God. It's not too late to continue to invite them. Think about coworkers, other people in your nucleus of life who may question the Lord or who are mocking God openly. It's not too late. The invitation is still out there. And what a glorious invitation it is. And in conclusion, I want us to read together Isaiah 25, if you can see it there. And would you read with me? This is one of those descriptions of the wedding feast in heaven. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And look at this. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.